I'm Toby Fox from 1.5 million New Homes, the local government challenge sponsored by Redloft and Waites. We're investigating the role of local councils in the government's national ambition to deliver 1.5 million new homes. In this episode, I've come to meet Caroline Harper, who's the Deputy Managing Director of BeFirst, the council's wholly owned development company, to talk about building and nurturing a career in public sector housing delivery. So Caroline, tell us where we are now and what we're looking at. And I want to get at, like, what are the skills you need to bring in to do more of this?
Yeah, big question. So we are on Abbey Green. Here's the Abbey. Mm-hmm. And in the background, you can see the Gascoigne Estate, which is our biggest estate renewal project. And we've delivered, I can't remember the exact time, but thousands of new homes, mm-hmm. and there's more to come. Mm-hmm. So really, really exciting. One of our big success stories. In terms of skill sets, so BeFirst is in a period of transition at the moment, mm-hmm. because we've got to bring in public-private partnerships at scale. And we're still working on exactly what that means in terms of recruitment, but we have boosted our kind of abilities in looking at financial modelling and the investment side of things. And then also, we've got a skilled asset management team who also have abilities in kind of the regeneration development side mm-hmm. of things. And it's my plan is over the next couple of months is boosting the capacity there so that we are really kind of watertight on our stories, if you like, mm-hmm. for what is the ask of a private sector partner. And we're also doing that ask at the moment for the public sector, by which I mean central government, in terms of bringing together the limited sector part purse to unlock the confidence and the conditions needed for those private sector investors. So to do that, we need, and we're all working hell for leather at the moment in terms of that modelling and so on, but I anticipate that we'll need to bring in more of that skill set, probably from the private sector, because we've got the understanding within the team of that private sector, but also that how local authority finance works, yeah. which is important for us in terms of, mediating between the two, between the private sector partners and then the council.
And is there a difference in the market on the availability of that understanding, as it were, of people who know about local government finance compared to people who understand development finance in the private sector?
Yeah, I think there is. We've got people who can sort of switch between the two and obviously have the wherewithal to appreciate that there are different drivers there. But we've also got people who have a bigger skill set in one or the other. Mm-hmm. I find it really interesting to look at. So you can see I'm just thinking of one person in particular in my team. She's brilliant at how she conveys her approach and how she conveys the messaging mm-hmm. and so on. And that is a skill set, whereas sometimes you can get someone who's only worked in the private sector and they're absolutely right on the numbers and these are the hurdles that we need to come over and all the rest of it. And you're like, yeah, but I need you to be less bullish on that, or you just switch this off. So
diplomacy.
Yeah.
Kind of political skills, management.
It's like client relationships, isn't it? Yeah. But it's more nuanced than just your client saying, I want this. And you're like, okay, here you go. Yeah. There's nuance everywhere.
So
but we've
you
got
want mass geniuses who are good with people. Yeah. Not much of an ask.
No.
What other skills are involved in BeFirst's future and the next phase of Gascoigne and regeneration here?
Yeah, I think so. We've got quite a big delivery team who've overseen our construction, are overseeing our construction. So there's still some BeFirst council-led schemes that are happening via direct delivery, mm-hmm. but we're looking at the pipeline for that going forwards. And again, one of the jobs over the next couple of months is, really pulling the success story of that team in terms of how they've managed budgets, how they've, managed the contractors, etc., to give confidence to those investors coming in that, if we're doing the same for them on their schemes, yes, the council's part of it, but you're giving up some of that control, giving the confidence that actually we know what we're doing. Because my conversations with potential partners is that construction phase is one of the most risky times. Yeah. So we've really got to make sure that we have dotted the I's and crossed the T's in terms of this is what our offer is. From that team, it's kind of shaping how that's communicated as well.
So where are you going to find all of these skills? You mentioned like you're probably going to have to go to the private sector on finance. Is that true in project management and development management as well?
I think we've got it's about adding to our existing capacity. Mm-hmm. Like we have this capacity at the moment, but we need to grow it. Mm-hmm. And to support. So we haven't got, a single point of failure. We need more boots on the ground, if you like. So it's more about enhancing rather than a rebuild.
So assuming you can find all these people, what is it that you're offering them? What's a paint us a picture of their role?
Sure. The nuance of the role obviously varies according to what it is, but I'd say I can talk about why I like to work here. Yeah. And it's because of what's the art of the possible. Our challenges is there's so much that we could deliver and there's, so much that needs to be delivered and that is doable as long as you tell the right story and bring together the right information, that the challenge is how do we prioritise that so that we are actually, you can look back in, X amount of time and say, right, well, we did that. The leader's got something to say when it's in the next local elections, et cetera, et cetera. The mayor's got something to say. So the challenge is how do you prioritise that? And that is, to me, that's really exciting. Mm. And I think the scale of what is possible here again is also really exciting. These are big projects, and they have big. With that comes big impact.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to be part of that? Yeah. Because you're really, you're shaping a real legacy, not just for yourself, but for a borough that has socioeconomic challenges, but then also has a real opportunity to play a key part in how London works and shapes in the future.
And how would you frame the idea of working in the public sector? What's good about working in the public sector kind of generically?
Sure. I'm going to caveat it slightly because we're not the true public sector.
Yep.
And I think one of the advantages of Be First is we do navigate that kind of public-private tightrope, if you like. And one of my frustrations is I don't think it should be quite so here's the public sector, here's the private sector. Ideas are encouraged, innovation is encouraged. Mm-hmm. That brings with it, to my mind, a certain freedom. Mm-hmm. And therefore, that's the attractiveness of Be First. I'm always, if someone's like, oh, I've got this idea, I'm like, fantastic. Like, that idea might not work, but keep thinking, that's great.
Yeah.
And I don't think you get that everywhere. And then I think in the public sector, if I go with what is it appealing about the public sector, I guess, answering it from my perspective is when I think about where would I fit in the private sector, and I don't think that's an easy answer because of the breadth of what I have to do.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm unusual in that in terms of, I now do development, I do regeneration, yeah. I do the planning side of things, I'm in the statutory side of things, and it means, you have to have a real oversight of that to bring it together and to be effective. That takes skill. And I think that you don't necessarily get that in the same way in the... it's quite easy to be pigeonholed, I think, particularly if you're in private consultancy. And I think you have to actively ensure that you're not being pigeonholed so that you've got... you can see where you want to grow in the future and so on.
What advice would you give to a younger Caroline Harper about career development and the choices that you can make?
Again, a big question. I think, back yourself is always one.
Okay.
And people talk about imposter syndrome, but I think one of the great lessons of life is that everyone is winging it, even if they don't look like they are. So I think that's fundamental. And then I just think, not to be too flippant, but if you're enjoying something at least 80% of the time, so a job 80% of the time, then you're in the right area. If you're not, you need to change something. And I think, again, that's important, coupled with continually looking ahead. Now, that doesn't mean, I think when I was younger, I'm sure I've said this to you before in other forums, but I was very much like, I've got to get to the next rung, I've got to get to the next rung.
Yeah.
That's not quite right, I think. It's more the sort of continuous improvement, like how is, you're doing that, but what are you learning and what do you take from it to go into the next thing, which doesn't have to be a job, it can be a project, it can be a management style, all that kind of thing. And I think you have to continually be thinking about that, because otherwise when you get to the end of the year and you look back and you're like, what have I done this year, you can be like, well, it's sort of the year happened, rather than I, you know,
the big
largely had control over what I was doing.
And what advice would you have to someone who's watched this and said, holy moly, I need to get involved in Be First and what you're delivering in Barking and Dagenham? What's your advice to them about what they should be doing and what skills they should be developing, what actions they should be taking?
So, I mean, if you're an investor, come and talk to
come
me.
Come on over.
we're doing, you know, quite a few workshops at the moment to talk through the specifics of sites and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, very happy to have those conversations. If you're looking in terms of career and job, I mean, there's the fundamentals, like keep an eye on us for adverts and positions and so on. But also, you know, I go to events, I'm pretty approachable on LinkedIn and so on, so you can always drop me a message. And if I can't speak directly, I can usually hook you up with someone who you can have a chat with and do that kind of relationship building so that, you know, if you're hell-bent on working for Be First, if and when an opportunity comes up, then we'll be able to highlight that.
Well, that's very generous. I don't know if viewers are able to hear it, but in the background we've been listening to the sound of children screaming and running and shouting in their playgrounds. What's your ideal child in that playground right now? So I'm guessing they're like 8 years old or something. What do they do next, and how do they progress their kind of education and training and eventual careers in the way that is ideal and dream for you?
Not to take your question flippantly, but I...
It's a fairly flippant question, but at the bottom of it, it's like who are you looking for like 10 years from now?
Yeah. So I don't think, I'm not a fan of this is the plan and I'm going to stick to that plan. I've got a 5-year plan. I think you should look at things, or I look at things anyway, as, you know, I want to be stretched in terms of my brain. Mm. I want to feel like I'm making a difference, et cetera. So, and I want to most of the time enjoy what I'm doing. So I'd say that is my broad advice. So if you're 8 years old, you know, what are the subjects that you love? I happen to love geography. And so therefore I pursued that. And it, you know, I did not at 18 think I would end up working where I am.
Yeah.
But there are, I guess if you, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? If you look back, I guess there are things that you're like, well, actually, I did have a vague kind of thinking as at least what I liked, and that has evolved into this. So wanting to build a city, I love being in a city. I was very determined to be in London for university. And you can join these things up and then just keep interested. I'm looking for, you know, people that I like to work with are people who like to get things done, who have the technical knowledge to know what needs to be worked through, but they also have the wherewithal to think, actually, I don't quite like how that's done. What about if we do it this way? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's ideal. And also are interested. You know, I think the built environment as a sector, however you know, kind of map a career through that, we're working in a world that is here. We're in it. We live it. We walk through it. We live in it.
Yeah.
And that is amazing. And you should be interested, therefore, in terms of if you get a drawing or the numbers on a page or the words on a page, you should be able to be like, all right, what does that mean in terms of what does that mean for how we live? That kind of interest should be key.
Fantastic. Well, look, hoping that this was part of the 80%, not part of the 20%, Caroline Harper, thank you very much
indeed. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
So that wraps up another episode of 1.5 Million New Homes, the Local Government Challenge, sponsored by Redloft and Waite. We're going to be back in a few days with another episode, and we look forward to seeing you then. In the meantime, if you like what you've seen, please do click like or subscribe. It really helps us. Thank you very much for watching.